Good morning and welcome to the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks, the 31st day of October 2018. The final day of October, we begin November. It is time for all Barbadians in Barbados, across the region, and of course the diaspora right across the world to celebrate independence. One of the better times of the year. And of course, right around the corner, you've got that time. Yes, I'm talking about Christmas time in the city. So you're listening to Brass Tacks. I'm your host and moderator, Corey Lane. Just letting you know, there's a special for you today. I think about 11 o'clock or so, we join the Central Bank of Barbados for their report. We'll be handing over there. In the meantime and in between time, you can give us a call at 434-1790, 434-1790. That's the number to call, or you can send us your message at 266-IVOB. That is 266-4862. Now, I had a number of things to raise. I set some reminders in my phone. For those of you who stopped me on the road and asked me to raise this and raise that, my phone is giving a little trouble this morning. So you know what? Pick up the phone and raise your own issues. I can only remember one, and that is for the coconut vendors. Some people are saying that the coconut vendors are too close to the actual road. There's about 12 feet that some of you can work with, and you're on the actual shoulder of the road. Just the other day, there was a coconut flying out of a coconut vendor's hand and almost causing injury to life and limb. So we need to look at how we regulate these issues as opposed to talk about them. I think it is time that we bring these industries on the fringe of our economy into the economy. It's been reported that you coconut vendors make more money, way more money than it is being alleged that other people will make. So I think it's time to bring full regulation in terms of safety, in terms of health, in terms of taxes. I am not against the coconut vendors at all. I love me some coconut water. So before we go over to the lines, there's a couple things in the Daily Nation that I want to touch on. And of course, I want to give a big shout out to Anne Hill, and as they toss 9 passes in the EDPM. Of course, these are things that shouldn't be making news because they should be regular. But when these things happen, it's things I would like to say kudos to. Of course, on the other hand, there's the issue with the roadworks, and we see that is commending well, and it is something that I think that we should keep an eye on and keep some pressure on, because you know, once these things start, the next thing they fall off, so we can keep our eyes on the ball. Again, we see the whole idea of the predial larceny, and in relation to this cow being butchered, and it brings back some sad memories. Again, this is something I would like to see action taken on, as opposed to turning a blind eye. One of the things that really pees me on this is as we encourage people who will be displaced to get into agriculture, these type of articles, they don't give people or inspire people into confidence. And it is a systemic thing. It is a systemic thing, because if you walk into a supermarket and you take up a can of tuna, to me, you face a heavier weight of the law than if you kill or steal someone's $3,000 cow. And you got to ask yourself the question, what is the reason for that? Food for thought, I leave that there. The appeal for men to lead scouts. Now, when Adam was in primary school, we heard this call. Because I am familiar with this on the inside and now from the outside, I think it is safe to say that we need to look deeper into this, because we have a lot of crisis within this country in terms of violence. Scouting was one of those institutions known to bring about discipline among boys, especially in an era where we ask ourselves, where are the fathers? Where are the responsible fathers? Unfortunately, in this case, I would like to flip this around. Where are the leaders? Where are the scouts, the many scouts that pass through the organization that should return within the organization to give back? Sadly, too many of them have been run by the same association that are now asking for men. How do I know this? Dot. Look, so much more to talk about, but I think it's time we go over to the telephone line, seeing that we're having a shortened program today. But before we do that, we take a break and tell you this is the Wednesday edition of Don't the Brass Stats. Don't you move. Yes, we return to this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. So much to talk about. I wanted to touch on Busy's power plan. Of course, the debate of marijuana once again. And then on a positive note, when you look at the slaughter cow, I also want to encourage you to look at the page in front and look at Francis Proper Port. Guy I know, and if you look at the state of that proper port, you know, some person is going to be having a delicious Christmas this year. Over to the telephone lines, good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning, Kurt.
Hi, good morning.
I find that I am becoming a target of two certain moderators, not you, but I will deal with them. I can discuss that with you.
Mm-hmm. Small potatoes.
Talk about, right? There's a bit of advice to the Minister of Transport and Work. There were roads that were started under the last administration. They have been more than 75% complete. The rainfall that you're having now is eating away at the, what we call the Marfil. I would suggest to him to complete those roads, places like Mark C. Village Road and Long Bay Village Road, among others. Complete those roads before you start others. It makes no sense to me leaving them in the state that they're in to get worse after spending so much money on them. That's just a bit of positive advice. It's up to him to heed it or neglect it.
Allow me to piggyback on that point. And I remember, I can't remember the, it was during the People's Parliament here on VOB. I think we had discussed this idea of using technology and apps and different things to communicate with government in real time with these sort of matters. So I just want to fly that and remind whoever is responsible for it, let's get that launched, because there's so many things happening across the island, and I think if we can have a centralized place. I know there was an email that they spoke about, but then I heard about difficulties in relation to that. Sorry, Mr. P, continue on the second point.
And just to the record, the council had a seven about it because the last government got completely wiped out. Mm-hmm. So they're really obligated now to do what they got to do. I'm not saying that anybody has been politically victimized.
Yep.
My next thing is this 5-minute loading process that is being talked about in the news that are signed. I personally think it is bordering between ridiculous and insane. And I am going to give you the reality of it. You can't expect people who make money by the amount of
passengers. But Mr. P, hold a minute. You might go put me on our list now. I heard you talking about this yesterday, and I suspect the same people that were listening yesterday, they're listening today too. So,
yeah, but listen,
so then they will believe that they're listening
listen,
to
hello,
a, rec-
hello,
a set
hello,
record.
Hello,
you got
hello,
a few
listen.
Minutes to develop the point.
Listen. You have people going in the Fair Church Street bus terminal because the excuse me and you is that you can't keep people there for hours waiting for a van. At least the people know that their van is there. I wasn't allowed to expand on it yet.
Hold on.
There's a plan when I got for me.
No, is that you are coming with the same thing. You made a
I
point.
I expanding on it.
But please. No, you're taking long. I'll
There's
tell you
an
why.
Attention to the house.
If you, I remember. I can let you go. That's why I give you a few moments to see if you come with something different. Now, the reason I know everything you said is not because I'm psychic. It's because I heard it yesterday. So unless you start with something new, I'm going to have to move on. And it's not targeting you. It is not a plan. It is that we have to keep the program moving along and keep it fresh. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Brother Corey.
Look, you going to put me on the list, though. Good morning.
How you doing, man?
Hey, good, man.
Is it really true that a picture paints 1,000 words?
It is true. Could be 1,500 too.
Their dailies with two individuals on the back page?
No. Let me see. I have it here.
You see two individuals on the back page?
Yes, please.
If I was in any problem, I would never want to go and approach those two faces. Because I can put something, as we say, a picture paint 1,000 words.
But remember, a picture is also a snapshot. You understand? It's a snapshot.
A snapshot. So
yes.
In other words, when the person took the picture, that's how the faces were at the time?
Yes.
That's your opinion.
That's not opinion. That's a fact. A picture is a snapshot. Sometimes you may be taking a picture, you find that you were yawning or something. That is not your face. That's not how your normal face looks. So it's a snapshot.
Not cross. I know you're old, but their two faces were ramming.
All right, move on. What else you have for me today?
There's something to do with the water authority, you know, and pensioners that live alone. I heard this thing brandishing that pensioners that live alone will get half of the thing tax, the water tax, the sewage tax, and the next thing, mm-hmm. by half.
Mm-hmm.
I made an inquiry there before to the water authority, and I was told that it is just that they ain't getting a confirmation from the PM, from my PM, Mrs. Mayor Motley.
Right.
So I am asking now through your media, if they can look at that.
Right. Now, I think what happens here, especially with communication, right, there is the communication with the public, and then there are like official documents, warrants, signatures, etc. that are required to actually make things official. So, for instance, a official can say, a minister can say, this is the policy, this is what we are going to do. Now, until something is signed into law or regulation or whatever, it actually cannot be implemented. And especially when it comes to saving money and paying money, you would find, and I've said this before, let's look at the NSRL. Let's look at the shipping and so on. You remember the minister would say, as of midnight tonight, this NSRL going on, right? And when he said, is as effective, he said, no. Before he could say night and get the sack, it is on. It is on by virtue of just being on. But when they say it is coming off effective, you remember there was a week before they could get it off on in the port.
Yeah.
Through customs. You remember that. Same thing here. When they say going on, before the next bill print good, before you load the paper in the printer, that charge is on. But to take it off, you have to sign a pile of documents, signed, sealed, and laminated, and have it notarized, and then have a Justice of the Peace sign on it, and et cetera, et cetera, just to get it off.
So my reason for making this call is I hope the PM is looking into it. As a pensioner living alone,
mm-hmm.
I didn't get an increase in the last thing, so I'm looking to save every little penny that is allotted to me.
Fair enough. So I hope that they look into that and we can get some movement on that. So thanks for raising it. Brass Stacks, good morning. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Lane. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Not bad, because we have to rush through the program today. I like it. It's fair. Anyhow, the first thing, Mr. Lane, we know that most people know how we get to the condition, the way we are right now in the economy.
Mm-hmm.
And the way forward is the way how this government is going through it with the structural program, the IMF program, to bring forward the economy, to get some growth in the economy. But my question to you, Mr. Corey Lane, as a young fella who is now in the world of work, working for yourself, I assume, and also looking at what's happening in the world economy, do you think that after all this, the present government can retain the government at the next election? Because we are having a conversation this on Facebook last night. And some people are of the view that this might be a one-term government. Don't mind the 39 seats that they got right now in Parliament. Do you think it's possible that a government of Benin's 30 seats could to lose the upcoming elections?
In politics, I will go along stating in politics.
Mm-hmm.
They say a day is a long time. So just imagine how long 4.5 years would be.
That's
but
right.
I would say anything is possible in politics. Anything. I personally have stopped predicting elections after I was wrong for all the elections I was probably alive for. So I just don't predict them anymore. I was, and the thing is about it is that I'm choosing between two. And I was wrong every single time.
Okay.
So I just give up on that.
And the other thing is, when you say home people from you lay off people, there's something that we don't talk about. You know, I understand as you get on your program, crime, the increase of crime, when you have an increase of unemployed people in the country, I want you to get a certain program on that. Because I noticed that most countries that the IMF enter a arrangement with already, the crime rate increases.
Give us an example so I can look it up.
South American countries, their crime rate went up. African countries.
Give me one. Let me pull it up right now because it's very easy for people to spout things. And then when they go and check them after, you'll be shamed.
I want you to pull up the last time the Argentina went to IMF. What happened in that country?
I can look it up in the break, and I will say something on it if I find something on it. Because some people will say that, right? And then when you go and look, it's not so. It's just guessing. You understand what I say? Actually, don't move. We got to do something. Don't move. We'll be right back. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Caller, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you tell me that you were going to check it out. Did you check it out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you go ahead.
No, I was waiting on you.
Mm-hmm. You waiting on me to check it out?
No, you said you were going to check it out.
Yes.
So what have you come up with?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, I will check out tonight when I come home. The last thing I have to go say to Corey before I go. What you two will call is now the people who want to invest in Barbados, what would attract them to Barbados in this current situation we are in right now?
What would attract what?
Investors.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that you're a young man living overseas and you want to invest in Barbados. Mm-hmm. What will you be looking at now to invest in Barbados?
Barbados was always a country attractive to investors, right? And it had to do with infrastructure, both at the technological level, telecommunication level, also in relation to the road network. Now, there are a lot of things we take for granted here. There are many countries around the world that they do not maintain a constant supply of electricity. Electricity off and on a lot, water off and on a lot. They don't have the type of fiber system and telecommunication system that we have now going on probably more than 30 years. The crime level is low, very beautiful country. So Barbados always had a number of things. One of the main things that investors look at, according to surveys and things that I've read, was a low crime rate, right? Now, on the reverse and the flip side, the things that make Barbados unattractive to investors is the slow pace of bureaucracy. We have that before and we have it now.
That's right.
The falling confidence with the downgrades and the decision, the slowness of the decisions from the powers that be actually would have caused the situation to get much worse over the last few years, right?
I agree with you.
So,
Mr. Lane, you saw a circular on Facebook here over the weekend, which was talking about the Minister of Culture and Sports. Might have to, when we shuffling coming, he might want the first ministers to lose his ministry.
What's happened with me, right? I just get a lot of those things, but I'd be so busy. I didn't get that one, but I'd be so busy. I'd just be like, why waste time on all these rumors and speculation? It is a total waste of time. It was a total waste of time before, and it's just a total waste of... You remember when they're sending out rumors about Frondell Stewart will be reshuffling the cabinet this particular day? People wait till the day. The man never reshuffled them. You understand? And it's taken a lot of mental energy. Like because people, because of their agendas, send around this nonsense. And big people, adults, well, tall children, you know, take these things and run with them like their life, like their John 3:16.
In every rumor, there's a little bit of truth.
Yes, and listen, you know, hit the nail on the head. Because what people do, they take rumors and lies and they sprinkle a little truth on it. Sprinkle.
Right.
No. They sprinkle half truths on them. You understand? And then they take on a life of their own.
Okay, thank you, sir.
It is something else. Thank you, too. Brass Tacks, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Corey.
Hi, good morning.
Are you jumping up? No, you hear me, man.
Yes. You actually sit up in your chair.
you're digging. You're very good, boy.
Yes. Well,
sorry,
don't
take too it. Much, because I think you got too good for long.
Ah, boy. I know slouch back.
Good. You just talk about rumor and whatnot on social media.
Yes, please.
So what went wrong about you as a rumor, too?
Well, what did go wrong about me?
Well, you receiving a big salary.
No, I know. I'm a volunteer. A volunteer for the last 21 years, too.
I want to ask a question.
That's 2-1.
How you get these things, though?
What things?
No, I want to learn. I want to learn.
Man, come to classes. Class is 5 p.m. this afternoon. Come.
Pardon me?
Come to classes this evening.
No. You can educate me, and I think that if you educate me through this medium, other people would be educated as well.
Fair enough. Let me tell you something.
No, hold on.
I have to tell you this so that you would know how to proceed. Before getting in this chair, right, I had a crash course. I call it crash course training, right? You would be surprised to hear this. I was told as a new moderator, two things. That was my crash course. One, you can't ban any callers. And two, the programming to talk about yourself. That's the only two things they told us in training.
I don't want to talk about yourself.
I'm setting up the parameters for you.
All I would say to you, I remember.
I was reminding you, you say you were not talking about me, but go ahead.
And I know here that you in the other camp with a big assistance as well. I want to know for me how to get them things done.
I can answer it because it is something that I talk to people about when we talk about volunteering. And a lot of people. I want everybody to listen carefully, right? Once you are prepared to serve your country, and you have politically, you really want the answer, or you just want to cut in all the time?
Prepared to serve the country too.
But I gotta add more on it. You can let me add the more. Okay, good man. We baking the cake. I just tell you what, flour. Let me get the sugar in that magna, man. Listen to me. Once you are prepared to serve your country in all seriousness, right? And people recognize that, they recognize your value. You go out there and you do it. You're not studying other people, you know. What you will find that will happen is as you are effective, people will come for you if they're politically mature. I'm being dead serious. I look back on life and I tell people all the time, go and serve your country. In the prison, when I went to the prison, right? I didn't go to the prison to do any work or contract. I went to do a presentation. I went to visit you. I went to do a presentation. It was received well. So they asked me to do another one. And before you know it, I had a contract there. We live up. I went to do an ad. I only went to tell you the truth because Allison Hines was in this ad. So I went. Mm-hmm. And at the end, I went to volunteer. And at the end of the day, they give me a little envelope. And 15 years later, you're still working with the people. And it goes on. When I came here for the first brass that Sunday to do with Porgy and Murder and things, I didn't know anything about the money. It's something I wanted to discuss. And I came here. And then Peter and David went off. You could do a Tuesday. You do that Tuesday good. You could come back the Thursday. And then, boom. So what I'm saying to people, don't go there looking for money all the time. Money is not the end all and be all of it.
In all seriousness though, Corey, in all seriousness, I want to say this thing, and I want to say in all seriousness, I had to put that jab in you, and you know that. You know that I can't talk to you unless I jab you.
That wasn't a jab.
But in all seriousness, when I study the work of Corey Lane, when I study what you do with assisting people, right, I have no other choice but to compliment you and what you do. And I think that anything that come your way, whether monetary or whether you get man labor, okay, I think it is well deserved. That's all, really.
All right, I have no argument with that. I accept it graciously. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Brastats. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning, Donor Brass Stats. All right, let me read this WhatsApp and come back to you. This one says, they say coconut vendors are dumping their waste on private lands. I've seen the waste myself, and I've seen them as well. And I also want to put the positive on it. I've seen a number of them using tarpaulins now to throw the coconuts on. So at the end of the day, it is easier, or they throw them directly into a truck. So I just want to raise that as well. This one says, good morning, Corey. Glad you mentioned the coconut vendors. I was hoping that this government and by extension the minister would have dealt with these vendors in a serious matter, as with the people selling cars on the highway. They're still leaving loads of shells on the highway at night. The DLP talked about it just before leaving office, but that's all. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Yes, a very good morning to you, Corey.
Hi, morning.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Okay, I'm not too bad, thanks. No, I want to discuss three things with you, and I want to know if it's fair or unfair. The first being the banks. The situation where individuals are banking money and getting a return of 0.01. I know it's a long issue, long before this came up. But, you know, it's like over a period of time and thinking about it, they have allowed the commercial banks to do as they like. And when I say they, I mean the government of the day, they allow central bank to remove restrictions.
Correct. The regulators.
Sorry?
The regulators.
Regulators, right.
Mm-hmm. You're correct.
And allow the commercial banks to do as they like. And as a situation, everybody cannot or will not go to a lending agency, a lending house, the credit unions or nothing of that sort to do investment. They much prefer, for security reasons, to keep their money on the bank. No, that's a choice. But at the same time, is it fair or unfair that the commercial banks, knowing at the end of the financial year, they can say that they've made a substantial profit, but unfairing customers day after day?
That's a very, very funny statement, right? And I have a lot to say about it, but I will summarize by saying this, right? Now, if you look at it, statistically speaking, Barbados makes, in terms of banking, makes the second least amount of profit. The only people that make less profit in banking is the OECS, right? That information has been sent to me by the president of the Barbados Economic Society. Also, it is my understanding there's a lady within the banking association who took issue with me saying that about the profit and that they can give the customers an ease. Of course, Ms. Motley said what you are saying now. Mr. Ellis sat in this chair and said similar and in my opinion, a little bit more. But the lady is waiting on me, but she's not waiting on them. I know I hope she is waiting on you. But let us get serious. There are two sides to this story. Uh-huh. On one side, you have the banking sector reeling under increased costs in terms of cybersecurity. And this is coming from the bankers themselves telling me this, okay? They have increased pressure because there are less places to invest money safely or invest, period, locally, yeah, regionally, or internationally. Right. And they made their major profit from that. Uh-huh. So what they've done, in my opinion now, is that they've found a new way to make a little more profit by fees, okay?
Good.
That is what is happening. But I am saying let's meet each other in the middle. We are not saying that we want no fees, but we are also saying we don't want high fees. So let us all get along. Can't we all just get along?
All right, Corey. That is said no. That is like I know another bit. Excuse me. This is 2018. And this situation started somewhere around 2015, 2016. Prior to that, The banking institutions give you 6.5%, 4.5%. At that point in time, were they making a profit?
Yes.
Good. Now, look at it. If they were making a profit back 2014, 2015, what suddenly happened that they will have to do this now to increase their profit?
But we will have to look at the balance sheet of the banks.
Thank you.
I don't know how high these cyber fees are. They mentioned a third factor too. Oh, the fact that because of the downturn in the economy, less people are actually taking out mortgages. Obviously, they sell loans. And if they sell less loans, that is less profit. So it's not about not being profitable, but not being as profitable. So that has been the issue.
All right, that's one for the banks. Mm-hmm. Two, Water Authority. Water Authority is doing as they like with the people of Barbados. And when I say that, you would realize that you're going to make application for water, and they would tell you to do that is $400. After the installation, they will send you then a copy of a letter saying that there's a balance of $259.78. But up front, They'd say $400 it will cost you approximately to do. Though the important word is approximately.
Yes.
Because then they would say you didn't read the fine print at the back saying that it could have gone over or under.
I ain't sure about fine print, but when I did an installation, they actually discussed that with me. They said it's an average. Sometimes it could be under, sometimes it could be over, depending on the work that needs to be done.
Right. But the funny thing about it now, let us look at two apartments, a double deck. You're having an installation and a booth. Why should one cost more than the next?
Yes, that's a technical issue. Not as a technical issue. The people dealing with that may have a longer pipe to work with.
Is that fair or unfair?
But then again, it depends. Sometimes these things are not black and white.
I think the water authority is doing is to let the people of Barbados tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Now, going on to the third point, layoffs. While I'm not hiding, while I placed my ex for the Barbados Party in the last general election, at this point in time, I'm disappointed in the way they're doing the layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that if you're saying to me to hold strength, if you're saying to me to tighten my belt, if you're saying that all of us are in this together, but yet you're going to go down to lay off the people at the bottom?
Mm-hmm. My thing is, I asked this question, I haven't got an answer as yet. Who actually lays off these people? Because you notice you said the Barbados Labour Party. A party cannot lay off anybody, you know. So my question is, who chooses these people? Who lays off who is responsible for the actual implementation of this thing? Because this calling in people without letters and calling people last minute and got people anxious, and I don't like it. And I want to know who is responsible. And I want to know if the Prime Minister of the country and others would have said, listen, this is not the way, not about here. Why is it being allowed to continue? Because at least the head of departments, they have to answer to somebody. And I think that they should have addressed this on day two. So you do it on day one, it causes pain and dislocation and anxiety and all the other things. What happened to day two? And why didn't they started out? Anyhow, caller, we got to take a break at this time. So I want to thank you very much for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Wednesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Some people are asking me, why are we celebrating Halloween? I guess that's because they can make money off of it. People respond to it. Let's go to the lines. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air.
Good morning, Corey, and how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And you?
Fine.
Now, feeling a little chesty, but outside of that, I'm okay.
Okay, fine. You'll be all right.
Definitely.
I've got a couple of one-liners. On Monday, I heard Mr. Ellis of a caller about the water wastage. And I says, well, at least there's somebody else like me who feels about this water business. And I feel very strongly about that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, next one, it was Tuesday yesterday. I was most disgusted. I found it very unacceptable. Yesterday, a caller speaking to Mr. Bickham, tell him, shut up. Peter, shut up. Now, what do you think about that?
Can't you shut up? No.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Words to that effect. I mean, it may be exact words, because I didn't write it down then.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, when you think that was disgusting?
Not really. The rough and tough. It depends on the conversation. Now, Peter is a customer. No, hold on. I understand. Let's look at all sides of it. Yeah, I like to look at all these sides. Now, for radio, for family radio, for radio going outside, it may not be the best thing. But in a call-in program, you have callers, moderators with strong views, and you get that robust cut and thrust. And you know, two men having it out on the radio, you know. It depends on how you look at it and in the context in which it was done. So for me, it didn't disturb me, but different people have different tastes. It definitely disturbed you. But if you ask me, I can only tell you how I felt about it.
But then again, don't forget the children are listening.
It's true.
And they're not really sitting down to listen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just listen and they're going and they're watching as they go by. Which also brings me back to a couple of Sundays ago when we had Faith Marshall Harris on. She was one of the people in the studio. When the guests in the studio, and we were discussing something, I don't remember exactly what it was, about fathers and the certificates of children and what have you and so on. I was making my contribution in, literally, but almost physically, step in, and this man, he did not say, excuse me, nothing else. And if it weren't for what Fifth Marshal Harris had to say after, somebody out there might have said, there goes that voice again, which would be me. Now, the other one is, now, Karen Moore has been calling for years for a quiet Barbados. We will never get there no more. And Dr. Gale, he went on for years, his smoking campaign, his non-smoking campaign for eons. And it took us just as many eons to get it materialized. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing about it is, and that brings me down to this thing we are talking about, energy saving. Why do we have, and I've said this several times before, if I feel strong about something, Corby, I'm going to talk about it. Why do we have to have a six-story building and from the second floor up, lighted at night like a Christmas tree? You look across by Warren up to last night, and I was shocked to think, in a day, in the time now, we are under drastic measures to save as much as we can. And we are still having buildings. We don't have no low-flying aircraft, Corey. Why do we have... this morning I wondered, are these lights are sensor lights that will come on when the sun goes down? But those kind of the lights you don't have in the buildings. So why would we have a building in Warrens? And I could see from about the eighth floor down to the third floor, lit like a Christmas tree. Corey, would you please tell somebody when they're going out in the evening, turn off the lights?
All right, I'll do that. No problem. We'll take another call. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air?
Hello?
Yes, please. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Corey.
Yes, please.
I'm getting an echo from something. I don't know where it is. Anyway, this statement that a survey was conducted, which say that Barbadians prefer to pay their cell phone bill rather than pay their water bill. Do you know of any survey or anybody who took that survey or who
I'm not
who
sure. It said the survey? It didn't say that they. I don't think it said it preferred. It said that they do pay before.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. You know of anybody who heard or when that survey was done?
Right. No. Not. Okay. No.
I would like the chairman.
I was not surveyed.
Right. I would like the chairman and the minister of education to please publish when that survey was done.
Mm-hmm. But if you approach that survey like that, I would have to tell you I was never surveyed in any of these surveys I've ever heard about.
But I have been asking around, and I've asked probably a couple and from different constituencies, parishes, that kind of thing. If anybody have heard about this survey, we would like this survey to be made public. When it was done, who commissioned it, what was the purpose for it?
What are your thoughts, though? You think that people pay their water bill first?
The statement... Mm-hmm. Is, I mean, to say that people flatly refuse to pay a tax attached to their water bill, and then to use that statement to bring out your point, I think is in poor taste, honestly. Mm-hmm. Right? No.
But what if
I don't know if the chairman is living in Barbados or not, but the prime minister said that things will get tough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If things get tough, wouldn't she think that people would have problems probably paying their water bill also? That is all part of the thing. There are things that people used to do that they had to cut back on. As I said, even myself, I cut out my... I used to have the bundle with the telephone. I just use the internet now and forget all the other aspects. So mm-hmm. people are cutting because they recognize that things are tough.
But what they are saying is, you said it was in poor taste, but suppose it was true. So you have people who may top up their phone about five times a month at $10, that's $50, but they will refuse to pay, or not refuse, they would be say they are unable to pay the water bill at the end of the day. And what people try to highlight is that water is more important. Although the phone may be more enjoyable or, you know, more luxury, and it's paid in parts, so you may not feel it unless you are postpaid. I think you have to look at the facts of the matter.
Mr. Corey, in
yes,
all
please.
Honesty, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You listen to the statement you just made. Said, if somebody put $10 on their phone like I do,
mm-hmm.
and tried to make it last week, you're going to tell me that I am, because of that, that I refuse to pay my water bill.
But what if you do that, but then you don't pay the bill at the end of the month?
No. But you can't. Generally, the person who is responsible for paying the water bill don't do things like that.
No, but where is you said it's a fact. Point me to the fact. Do you want the people publish their thing? You publish yours. No. Where can I find that as a fact?
But Mr. Corey, I live here in a housing development. I normally walk about. People pay their water bill. Mm-hmm. Even if they pay. Look, I had a water bill, which I could not pay for 3 months. For the three months, my water bill came to $389. Mm-hmm. This is a fact. I went to the Barbados Water Authority yesterday and paid $250.
What you're saying that people generally pay their water bills, right? Then there's no issue because you disconnect people who do not pay their water bills.
Right,
and hence, then when they get disconnected, they can't think because according to you, people paying the bill. Anyhow, we got to...
They may not pay the way she or the Minister of Water think they should pay it. But people, again, let me go back and say
it. But then there's just one way to pay it. You pay it on time and you pay it in full.
Yeah, but you may not pay all
one time. I get where you're coming from.
That's the point I'm saying.
That's where you like to look at both sides.
Because I walk around my area and I see nobody water off.
All right, you stick a pen. You're trying to take a break, but I can see you you want to go on this one. We're going to see what's happening here. Thank you. This is Down the Brass Stop.